a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
And he crushes one. High and deep to right. Welcome back, Jordan. Astros had no home runs the first two games without 44. And in his first swing in play, he hits one out to right center.
There was a parade in Boston for the Boston Celtics this afternoon.
There was.
The first step for the Houston Astros to get their third World Series parade is defending the wall, a last stand situation against the Baltimore Orioles this weekend.
Hopefully they do a better job of defending the wall than they did in Game of Thrones.
The wall got destroyed.
The wall got destroyed.
Ultimately, it got taken out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a dragon that took it out, but
You're right, it got taken out.
This is a huge series for the Astros. I really think it's the last series of importance during the first half. We all know that they've got a lot of ground to make up with a little more than half a season left. I don't know if they're going to make it all up, but I do know that this is a huge series, and I do feel like we should all, at least going into this series, try our absolute best to maintain positivity and have this team's back. After this, totally up to you, but if they get two out of three over the weekend, I'll be feeling better. If they get a sweep, I will be an annoying, insufferable Astros fan until, theoretically, they disappoint against another team that they shouldn't.
Like, I hope that happens.
First game of the series against the White Sox this week.
I hope the first part of that happens where you're obnoxious and annoying. But if Bloss wasn't on the mound tonight and you were healthy and you had Verlander, Blanco, and Valdez going, I'd feel so good still.
That's the problem. I can't explain it.
I cannot.
You can't explain how it's better, Joe, to have
Verlander? Even if Verlander's on the mound, we shouldn't feel good about this series. But, like, I still believe in this team for some reason. That as bad as it's gone, that there's still talent there, that there's still a way that they can turn this thing around. But having Blanco on Saturday, Valdez on Sunday, you know, you have the pitching edge in at least one of those games. Blanco Burns is pretty good. It's a pretty good matchup, I would say. Probably two of the guys towards the top of the Cy Young category, or at least the top of the All-Star category at a bare minimum this year. So you have the horses on the mound that can win you this series. That I do believe. That you are in position, that tonight excluded, you have the right guys pitching Saturday and Sunday to get you a series win.
Yeah, definitely. That's what you have going for you.
So you have going for you, yeah.
But it's today that is a complete unknown, and I understand some optimism about what Dana Brown's been doing from a draft perspective, but Jake Bloss legitimately is in his first year of baseball. He got drafted, what? When's the draft? June?
June, July.
Okay, so he got drafted less than a year ago.
And he's already here.
And he's already on the major league team. I mean, that is either an incredible talent that has earned his way up to the major league level. And his statistics are very good. 1.74 ERA in 62 innings this year between high A and double A. But whoa.
A lot of desperation with the injuries as well.
I mean, six pitchers on the injured list. So, yeah.
Honestly, the best thing that could happen this weekend for the Astros is Bloss dominates tonight and you win or sweep the series. And one of the conversations we're having on Monday is if Arrigetti's start on Wednesday versus the Rockies should be his last one with the Astros before he gets sent back down to the minors. And just keeping this Bloss kid up for the foreseeable future. I don't think that's going to happen.
How well would Bloss have to pitch for that to happen?
We are smoking some real positivity crack.
Hey.
I get it, though. We have to.
After Arrigetti's last start, if Bloss gives you a quality start, is that enough to have a conversation about him versus Arrigetti?
It's still only one start.
It's still only one start. That's fine.
Still only one
start. So maybe he has two. And he has two
skipped,
starts?
Yeah. He did skip AAA.
I mean, look, the great ones do.
Do they?
Probably.
Okay. I didn't know if there... No, I didn't know if there's some historical backing of... You know, Justin Verlander skipped...
Yeah, you should have just...
AAA. You could have just lied.
Yes. Lied to us.
Honestly, I was more worried about if I lied...
I'm cool being lied to right
but
now.
I was worried about being challenged more and being backed into more of a corner.
Listen, we're not going to back you into a corner over the Astros or baseball.
Hey, guess what? Ken Griffey Jr.?
Ever heard of him?
Looks like he skipped AAA.
How about that?
There we go.
Juan Soto?
Nepo, baby.
21.
You know what? This Reddit thread says Justin Verlander.
There we go. So wait. You know what? I feel better about having Jake Bloss on the mound than I do if Justin Verlander's on the mound. Who cares that one of them's a surefire Hall of Famer and this guy's pitching for the first time?
This Reddit thread says Jeff Bagwell skipped AAA.
Ooh. Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Luis Garcia never played AAA.
Ooh. Ah, he almost doesn't
come
count.
On. He was great the last time
he
we saw him.
He would have. No, I know.
He was good in 2020.
He would have pitched AAA if the pandemic didn't happen.
A lot of things would have happened at the pandemic.
Good point. This Reddit thread also says Ken Caminiti didn't pitch in AAA. So, you know what? Lance McCullers didn't pitch in AAA.
Wow, it's in the Astros' DNA.
Yeah.
Does that mean that Joey Loperfido, we have to temper our expectations because he has played multiple times in AAA this year?
Good
point. Played too much in the AAA.
Was he part of that triple play last night that they got? I don't know if he was at first base. But the Space Cowboys got triple play last night.
That's nice.
Second of the season.
Defending.
Second of the season?
Pacific yeah, that's what Coast it said on the tweet.
First half champions. I guess you are the defending first half champions if you go into the
no
second
half. No matter
what. Yeah. Right? So,
well, they're the first half champions until next year's first half.
Yeah, and to make things a little more optimistic for Loperfido, I mean, Loperfido was only in AAA because of Jeff Bagwell. Don't you think that Loperfido would have skipped AAA if not for this Jose Abreu farce?
Yes.
Yeah.
To keep the positivity? Yes.
Yeah. So
yes, for sure.
Why not Jake Bloss? Why not?
Why not?
You know what? They should add Joey Loperfido to that Reddit thread that you're reading with all the great players that skipped AAA and then put an asterisk next to him because only reason he played AAA, Jeff Bagwell.
Yeah.
GM Jeff
Love
Bagwell.
It. GM Jeff Bagwell, that ruins things.
Yeah, gotta say, GM Jeff Bagwell, to this point in the season,
it's kind of quiet.
Well, I feel like things could be in a different place if not for Jeff Bagwell, the Hawk Tua of the season. It's just like
there it is.
It's just not good.
That took 2 hours and 13 minutes longer than I thought it was going to take.
Well,
I mean, hey. Progress.
When you think of all the frustrating things that make you go Hawk Tua this season for the Astros, Jose Abreu, number one. Number two, Jeff Bagwell.
Rafael Montero?
I've been Hawk Tua-ing Rafael Montero for years.
The injuries?
Hawk Tua to those.
Right, what are they, number two?
I spit in their general direction.
Okay. Sounds good.
There's so many that which one do I rank the highest? I'm not 100%.
That's the Braves number one. I just don't know what number two on the list of your Hawk Tui is.
I'm just spitting on
number
that
Hawk
thing.
Tua.
Yeah. Anyway, it's Galan and George. ESPN 975-925-713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You can join us on the twitch.tv/ESPN975, YouTube as well, at ESPN Houston. Positive vibes going into this crucial World Series-esque series against the Baltimore Orioles. Keep it going with us. And, could this NBA star be coming to Houston? Some more rumors as we get closer and closer to the NBA draft about the Rockets. Galan and George, stick around.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I want a sweep. I want the Houston Astros, like my sweet little kitty cat Aria, to go hunt them some Orioles, to kill them, eviscerate them, drag them to the doorstep, and leave them there as a nice little present for Daddy. Joe, you just held up your arms in the air.
Blair Henley got DFA'd.
Oh, man. Three straight quality starts. The end of his career started with this man who I am pointing my cat hair laden broom on. Sorry, I don't know if you're allergic. My bad.
I have a cat.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah, I forgot. But you said you were allergic to cats.
I'm not. I thought I was, but I'm
okay.
not.
Okay. Okay.
At least the cat that I got.
How is cat? Has cat brought you any Orioles?
Pretty gnarly, yet? Man. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, they bite, they scratch.
Yeah, he likes to play a lot, and we bought a leather couch. Mistake.
Yeah,
we're gonna be buying stuff to cover that leather couch here this weekend. So, but yeah, Jake Bloss has officially been recalled from Sugarland.
And he will start for the Astros tonight against the Baltimore Orioles, a man who was drafted less than a year ago.
Victor Caratini has been put on the injured list for a left hip flexor strain.
Oh, God. I mean, the sad part about it is that there actually was debate about where Caratini got hurt while that horrible base running moment against the White Sox happened. Was it when he first took off to go home because he was so slow, or was it because of that horrible slide?
Joey Loperfido officially recalled.
He's officially back. Good. He never should have left.
And then Blair Henley DFA'd. My sweet prince.
I mean, you ended his career. Yeah, you got nothing for that, huh?
Yeah, I made a mistake. Okay, we all make
mistakes. Did you make a mistake?
We all make mistakes.
You were honest in your assessment of him.
Yeah.
Honestly, he'll probably still be on the Astros tomorrow. No one's going to claim him, so it's okay.
Whoa! Wow!
Boots!
Ugh. You know what? I'm actually proud of you for that. That was a twist, a plot twist. I thought we were guilt tripping you into making you feel like you just ruined that man's life, which you did, by the way.
I did. Yeah, I know. But
you lived his dream.
He's turning it around, thanks to me, as we said earlier in the show.
Well,
I am the motivator.
Clearly, didn't turn it around enough. Three quality starts in a row, and they DFA'd him. All right, guys. So we're getting closer and closer to the NBA draft. It's next Wednesday, and NBA rumors are abound this time of year. Paul George, podcaster, also a basketball player, Playoff P is his nickname, has been talking a lot. And he had something interesting to say about the Houston Rockets on a recent episode of his pod.
Surprised a lot of people with the talent that they have and how young they are. I thought they had
made a push.
They made a push in the end of the season. I think this young dude's just started to, I don't know what Ime did, but he lit a fire under him, and they started to get it together. I think they surprised me.
Hell yeah, dude.
I think
Playoff P.
I go back to the one last year where he is doing the podcast with Jalen Green, and he directly tells him, this is your team. You don't want James Harden. And I think Paul George is going to be a Rocket.
Whoa.
Bookmark that one.
Put some mustard on that. Put some relish on that. Why, Joe? Why is Paul George going to be a Rocket?
He just talks. He says so many good things about the Rockets. Someone's got to pay him. And I wonder if he opts into his contract request to trade, and that Dylan Brooks is going to the Clippers and other pieces, and Paul's coming here.
That's what Brian Windhorst suggested would happen. He didn't report it, but he said that that's something that we're not thinking about. Is we're thinking about it as the teams that have free agent that have cap space to sign him as a free agent. And he said this morning, well, it's probably more likely that he just opts in and gets traded.
Let's go. Oh,
that's how the Rockets got Chris Paul.
That is true. More from Paul George. Here is what he is looking for. Say he does not return to the Clippers for 2024-2025.
But at this stage in your career, what are you personally hoping to accomplish or looking for in the near future?
I mean, for sure, contributing to winning basketball. But, I mean, at this point, I'm not even necessarily, like, it's not even about, like, you know, people saying chasing a championship. Like, it's not that. But it's playing the right style of basketball is what I'm chasing.
Interesting.
The right style of basketball.
That's an unusual answer.
I would have preferred him to say championship.
That's an unusual answer from Paul George. I don't really know what to make of that.
If he says championship basketball, that means that he would be joining a team that's probably won one. If he's saying winning basketball, that means he wants to join a team that's on the rise. And the Rockets, while they were 500 last year, like I saw with CJ Stroud, I do see a winning mentality. I see a winning mentality, even though they were a 500 basketball team. I am curious as to how they would cobble together things to make this happen. And I also do wonder if Ime Udoka would want to bring in Paul George at this phase of his career. Seems like he would be more likely to push for, as has been rumored, Marcus Smart on the Grizzlies.
And the reason that he's not just going back to the Clippers, he would go back to Clippers if they offered him a full max contract. And the Clippers are like, don't really want to do that. And Paul George is saying, well, you just did it with Kawhi Leonard. Do it for me. And so I imagine any team that he goes to is going to re-sign him at the full max.
Even with how regularly he does not play, I think I would rather give Kawhi Leonard a max deal for 50 games a year and maybe a playoff appearance than Paul George.
Yeah, I mean, I think it could work here, personally. But I don't know if it works to, like, get a championship.
I feel like if you are signing somebody to a max deal at this point, you should feel like you have a chance to win a title. And I suppose the counter-argument is, well, look at Fred VanVleet's contract. Look at Dylan Brooks' contract, at least on an annual basis. Fair. Last year. This is this year.
A lot of guys have max contracts that are not leading you to a championship.
Correct.
I still, if most likely, though, he probably ends up in Philly, it sounds like.
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Because a lot of people think he's just going to fill
it. There's report. I forgot if it was Shams or Woj, but I think it was Shams, who said that the Philly has moved on to other
on to other. I did see that last night. They're a weird team this year. They got a room for a max contract. I don't know who they go for. You got Embiid, Maxey.
Embiid, Maxey, and no one else on the roster.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if they've tried this before, but maybe they should give a phone call to James Harden.
Ooh.
Maybe that would work. Has he been there before? I forget.
Have they tried Jimmy Butler before? Because that could make sense.
Honestly, too. That would make sense. And I got to say, I wonder if Butler's out in Miami after the back and forth between he and Pat Riley. I don't know.
It feels like it, right? He's out? In a normal situation, you would say yes, he's out.
So in a normal situation, yes. But both of them, both Riley and Butler, like, they thrive off negativity. And so any other star and any other GM, you're like, oh, they are sick of each other. When it's those two guys, it's like, I don't know, that's kind of how they talk. Like, they're just right. Brutally honest all the time.
Butler was talking a little bit of trash about the Boston Celtics during their playoff run, questioning the strength of teams that they beat, which I believe led directly to what happened at, I think this is during or after the Celtics?
No, it was, so in the... They interviewed him during a Celtics Heat playoff game. They interviewed Jimmy Butler, and he basically was like, "Hey, don't let us win another one or whatever after game two," quoting Jalen Brown from last year.
Gotcha.
And then at the end of they eventually lost in five, and then they do the end of season like press conference with all the GMs and coaches. Pat Riley was like, "Yeah, didn't love that he said that." Personally, if you're not playing, I think you should shut the hell up, was what he said.
So that's why there might be beef between Riley and Butler. This is what Jason Tatum had to say in an interview with Brian Scalabrine, and I'm wondering if this was today or yesterday anyway. Here is Jason Tatum. This sounds like a shot fired.
Jason Tatum, how was the last couple of days since winning the championship?
It's been unreal. Still doesn't seem true, but... just trying to stay in the moment, honestly.
And you guys jumped on a flight to Miami right off the next day?
A couple hours after, actually.
You guys been on a lot of trips to Miami, a lot of hard-fought trips to Miami. Was this one a little sweeter taking that trip down?
They always easy.
Oh!
Got him!
Damn, son!
So easy when each time you play them in the playoffs, it goes to like seven games.
I mean...
And he lost two of them.
To a degree, I agree with both of you. But since Jimmy was talking a little trash about the Celtics these playoffs, Jason gets to talk even if Jimmy wasn't there for that series.
You do. It's like Corey Seager when he dunked on Bregman last year at the parade.
Really, at the parade, You can say literally whatever you want. You can lie. You can misrepresent the facts. You can do whatever you want because everyone else is a loser and you're not for at least one day.
The Seager reference is a good one. You know, I do have to say this too. I mean, considering the show before us has said that this Celtics championship will be forgotten. Well, I mean, the Jimmy Butler era of Miami Heat basketball will definitely be forgotten. Because what have they done? Oh, that's right. Nothing.
Mm.
Sort of like Miami's entire sports history in the 2000s, except for when LeBron James came. But does that really count for Miami? No, that's a LeBron James championship.
Mm.
You know why? Because LeBron James moved and he went to another town.
And the other one? It's a Shaq championship.
That is true.
It's not a Heat championship. It's a Shaq championship.
It's Shaq culture coming in. Scalata George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We got a couple of other fun NBA tidbits to get to. Before the break, though, I did want to bring this up because Joe George, the Chicago Bulls made a trade.
Yeah, they did.
They traded Alex Caruso to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Josh Giddey.
And?
Nothing else.
Oh.
A $2.8 million player exception.
There we go.
Oh, my bad.
You ask me all the time about my Bears fandom and how.
How?
And why.
Why?
And I don't know the answer to that. But I do know, I don't watch this team anymore. I'm done. I'm out on the Bulls.
You're out?
I give up.
After this, after trading the great balding white hope, Alex Caruso.
They could have got a top 10 pick for him.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
At the trade deadline.
They turned down top 10 picks for him.
Oh, boy. I didn't know that.
And you know the Thunder?
Oh,
and you know the Hey, hey, Sean, don't the Thunder have like 27 draft picks over the next 4 years?
A million draft picks.
And they got none. It's they drafted hard. Someone who's accused of being a kitty diddler. I'm out. I'm a Rockets fan.
Is he cleared of that, by the way?
He was.
Yes. The parents of the person in question,
of the 17-year-old?
Yeah. Decided not to press charges.
Gotcha. I got to... Well,
I'm a Rockets fan. I hereby declare Hakeem Olajuwon better than Michael Jordan.
There we go.
I hereby declare that if Michael Jordan played in the 90s throughout the entire time, Hakeem still would have won those two championships.
Yep. They beat him in the regular season.
I declare I'm a Rockets fan.
What do you think about the new reporting that the they're cooking the books for Michael Jordan to win Defensive Player of the Year?
Fraudulent, Michael Jordan.
Fraud. Should have been Hakeem.
He was suspended by the NBA, and they covered it up.
I do have a question. Isn't Giddey good, though, at basketball? Forget the off-the-court stuff. I don't know. The game against the Rockets, he looked incredible.
He was a good regular season player. They basically took him off the court.
Yeah, the reporting was that in the posts, like in the season wrap up review meeting, that Presti was like, "Yeah, you're going to be coming off. You're definitely coming off the bench, and we're not sure what your role here is going to be." And he was like, "Trade me, please."
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I mean, they did have a lot of depth. I mean, Gordon Hayward also the same kind of deal with them. OKC did have a lot of players on their bench. All I'm saying with Giddey is I feel like there's more upside on the court with him than with Alex Caruso.
Yes, yes.
I'm not justifying the trade. 100%. I feel like everyone's universally clowning this dude.
I hate Jerry Reinsdorf. Gotcha, he's a terrible owner.
It's also his
fault.
If the Bulls think you're good,
they're idiots.
That's fair.
Also, like, the Rockets should have done this deal. Caruso would have been great here.
Yeah, I was talking about, because the Bulls have, like, the 10th pick or something. Because they made the play-in. People forget. And I would have been okay with like how they talked about the Marcus Smart trade, trading three and salary for Marcus Smart to trade back.
And not nine.
I would have been okay with trading three for Caruso for 14.
Because he can make buckets.
Yeah.
All right. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call or text. It's the World Series this weekend against the Baltimore Orioles. Hit us with your best trash talk for the city of Baltimore. Akalon says, at Joe George Radio, at Sean A. Mapes. We're on YouTube.com/ESPN Houston, Twitch.tv/ESPN975. Stick around.
We're back with Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Series, the last stand of the 2024 Houston Astros. It could be this weekend. This is their biggest series the rest of the first half. And if they continue to disappoint in the way that they have for much of this first half, they could find themselves in a situation where it is a lead they can't dig themselves out of. We've heard Dana Brown say that by mid-July, he wants to cut this thing down.
Down to eight.
To five. It is down to eight.
Three more to go.
The Orioles are red hot. We know that this is a team that, yes, has a lot of really young, fun, exciting players. A team that the Astros did do very well against last year. But man, these Orioles numbers this season, holy smokes. And we did read through all of them. They have the most homers, the most runs batted in, the best ERA, second best OPS, 22 consecutive division series won against AL East teams, third best record in baseball. They just beat the Braves, Phillies, and Yankees in three-game series, and they beat New York yesterday 17-5. They are 5-2 against New York this year. They're just a half a game out in the AL East. They're really, really good. It's a huge challenge. Yeah. We heard Alex Bregman say after the series in Chicago, this was must win. They did get 2 out of 3. They got to get 2 out of 3 this weekend. I feel like the only way that they could potentially get some sort of wind in their sails and get themselves to the point where we're talking about this team as a legitimate playoff contender down the stretch, they got to win 2 out of 3 this weekend. Got to. I don't know if they do it, but I am having as much faith, Joe, and as much optimism as I possibly can, because they do deserve it after the last 7 years, even if the last 2.5 months have done everything to make us nervous in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, well, this is what they're telling us, too. Joe Spada talked after the game yesterday was, you know, after we lost that first game, it's really important that we won the next two because we just need to keep winning series. That's how you want to cut this lead in half? That's how you do it. Like, yeah, it's unfortunate. You could win 2 out of 3 this weekend and end up 9 games out of the division because the Mariners are playing the Marlins. Like that is unfortunate that things like that could happen. But the only way you can crawl out of it is if you keep winning series. And you have to start winning series against teams that are average to good. Like, it's great of your last series. You beat the White Sox, okay? You beat the Tigers. You beat the Angels. But you beat the Cardinals. But you lost a series to the Twins. You lost a series to the Giants. You lost your last series 3 out of 4 to the Mariners. So every single time they play some team that's competent or good, they're coming up short. If they're going to turn around, like the only reason why to believe is if you start beating teams that are good at baseball. And they don't do that right now. And winning this series would give you a reason to believe everything that they're telling us. Like, they're telling us we're going to come back. We're going to make a run. We're going to buy. We're not going to sell. We're going to do all these things. It can start this weekend.
Give me my sweep. The broom is back out with all of Arya's cat hair on it. Give me my sweep. I want my second sweep. Been asking for one for a while. Feel like Veruca Salt. Is that a slow clap?
Yep.
Okay. I was wondering what you're doing. You're banging the table. I was wondering if you're mad about something that I said.
No.
Okay, gotcha.
Worst case, 2 out of 3, though, right? You want the sweep?
No, I want. You know what? No, we're asking for a sweep.
I would also like a sweep this weekend.
Should I write a letter to the Astros and pretend I'm a child that's passing away slowly? Is that stolen valor? Probably stolen.
I feel like that's pretty much stolen. That's stolen valor. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So instead, go to the highway cantina, get lubed up, and you know what? Practice your best Baltimore trash talk. I got to say, listen, there are certain things that are out of bounds. Don't be like those two Texas A&M fans. Please, for the love of God, that was the worst. But, I mean, you got to brush up your Baltimore trash talk. If they start talking about your record this season, you know what you do? Talk about, well, you can't talk about the Ravens, damn it, because the Ravens have beaten the Texans.
I do feel like Baltimore has scoreboard on Houston.
They do. Not in the regular season. Damn. I didn't think about that until just now. I was like, oh, crap, they beat the Texans convincingly twice last year, so I can't say Lamar Jackson's a choker.
We still have a basketball team. They don't.
True, but it's not a very good basketball team.
It's better than no basketball team. The Baltimore Bullets don't exist.
It's better than the Washington Bullets.
Yep.
Better than the Washington Wizards. Yeah.
The Wizards haven't had a winning season since, like, the 70s.
Gross.
We could say, hey, our best defensive player of all time doesn't have off the field issues.
He's not a murderer.
Hey.
Well, alleged.
We know definitively that he obstructed justice.
Okay, J.J. Watt has no obstruction of justice charges.
J.J. Watt would never obstruct justice.
Yeah.
Right.
One of the J's stands for justice.
Yeah, J.J. Watt saves cities.
J.J. Watt would never uppercut somebody in an elevator.
Mm.
He would never pour bleach on the mother of his child. That's Ray Rice and Terrell Suggs. Look those two up. So you got that going for you. Sadly, as much as you want to say, oh, yeah, well, all of Baltimore is like The Wire. The Wire is a sick show.
They have the better TV show. There's not a ton of TV shows and movies that are like purely based in Houston. There's Mo. It's only a season. It's pretty good.
RoboCop 2 was filmed here. I think The Matrix was filmed here.
I don't think I've ever seen RoboCop 2.
Yeah, I haven't either.
It was filmed in Houston, but in the movie.
It's not
Detroit.
In Houston. Yeah.
It's still
Detroit. That's so weird.
It was in Independence Day for one scene.
Yeah.
And it got nuked.
That's an L.
President.
That's an L on the scoreboard, not a W. We're looking for W's.
Now, I mean, Baltimore would never get nuked because no one cares.
Yeah, the aliens didn't even show up to Baltimore.
What do you have? What do they have? Crab cakes? We have barbecue.
Crab cakes are good, but barbecue better.
More options.
We have better football. Probably have better crab cakes, to be honest.
I had crab cakes this weekend for Father's Day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Look at you.
A little saltgrass.
Saltgrass crab cakes?
They're very good, actually. Sneaky good.
Interesting. Well, yeah. I thought that they have it. Yeah. I mean, listen, you guys are going to have to be more creative than me. I'm sorry. I. Whenever I think of something, I am thinking of, oh, wait, damn it.
Has Houston had a bridge collapse recently?
Ooh, it has, actually.
Do we count Galveston?
It actually has had a bridge collapse.
What? It wasn't in Houston.
But it was close to Houston.
Claim Galveston?
It was a smaller bridge, so.
I mean, Charles Barkley would say no.
Well, I mean, we are a coastal city if we claim Galveston.
That's true.
The coast is not beautiful.
I'm realizing how little I know about Baltimore.
Yeah, after The Wire, the Ravens.
And the Orioles.
The
Bullets. That's about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a small town.
We're bigger than you are.
Yeah, that's true.
The small town team. Little pat them on the head. Can't wait for you to not pay any of your guys and they play for us in 5 years.
Hell yeah, there we go.
Because Jim Crane's going to break the bank on them.
Jim Crane's going to steal all your guys. But the problem is now they have new ownership that actually might invest more money. I mean, that's what
every new owner says.
Fair enough. Joe George, Sean Mapes, I'm Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We're manifesting positive energy for the Astros. We want to sweep this weekend. And I can't believe who saw the wrong end of an axe in the Houston sports world yesterday. Really surprising. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Coming up on the 29th, myself, Sean Bryan, will be broadcasting live from LaBerge Lake Charles. We'll be there from 12 to 3 doing the show. Great place to go and bet on your favorite Texas teams. A bunch of cool stuff coming up. They'll have fantasy football stuff they'll be doing. Honestly, football's right around the corner. Great food. Right now, you can become a Penn Play Reward member. You can win up to $500 in cash every single week. All you have to do is download the app or visit penplaysports.com/cover5. When you're there at the sportsbook, 24-foot video wall, 19 betting kiosks, 47 TVs for viewing games, the food items, the train wreck nachos, the catfish sliders, po' boy burgers. They've got the death burger that BMAC tried when we were there the first time. And if you love Carbox Crawford Buck, they got that on tap as well. Well, when you want to bet on your Texas teams, make sure you do it at LaBerge Lake Charles. Make sure to tune in June 29th to the bullpen when Sean Bryan and myself are there from 12 to 3.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Last chance to dance, Gallant and George. So, big series for the Houston Astros this weekend against the Baltimore Orioles. I've called it their World Series. I'm hoping it's not their last stand. I'm hoping it's not the last dance. I want to sweep. Am I asking for a lot? Yes. But are the Astros capable of a lot? I hope.
I hope so too, Paul.
That's all I got.
I will join you in solidarity, and I will also ask for a sweep.
We are praying to the baseball gods for a little bit of luck and for Jake Bloss to have the greatest game of his life on what might be the greatest day of his life, because he's making his major league debut against the best team, at least the way they're playing right now, in the American League.
Big time. Let's go, Bloss. Like a Bloss.
That sounds like something that the Astros will try to make their own.
Yeah, Bloss mode.
Bloss mode.
Should we try to trademark all of these?
Probably should.
We're the first.
What if he's a stud?
We're the first show to endorse Jake Bloss.
Maybe just after his first pitch, and hopefully it's like a strike.
Yeah, like give me like a 98. Then, I don't know how fast he throws. Give me like a 98 mile an hour strike.
And then
touches the paint.
And then we tweet Bloss mode.
Bloss mode.
Exclamation point. And then when he strikes someone out and the Astros Twitter account uses it, we can go, stole from us.
Yeah.
Very original
like
idea.
That.
That's how we make money. That's
we'll
how
we'll make get t-shirts. That person fired.
Yeah. Two t-shirts would work.
Yep, Bloss mode.
Get another person fired for the Astros Twitter. I mean, that would be the second body this year.
I think she quit.
Who knows?
We actually don't know.
We do know she got doxxed. Anyway, not a good look, Astros fans. Direct that energy towards the Baltimore Orioles, okay? Chris Pesman was the University of Houston athletic director. Did a lot of really good things, I thought, as their AD in his time there. But he has been let go. I'm really surprised by this. I mean, he oversaw Houston's move into the Big 12. He has been at the helm for the opening of Fertitta Center for the University of Houston basketball team's rise to the top of the basketball ranks. They are building a new football operations center, and yet they got rid of them.
Especially because so 2 days ago, there was some like football thing going on, and he was there. And Joseph Duarte tweeted this out because at one point Chris Pesman updated the crowd on the improvements that are being made to the facility. He said, spread the moment. This is a great time to be a Cougar. They fired him the next day.
I know.
Like, it's very weird.
That's messed up.
We were just talking about during the break, but even if you have these concerns to allow an athletic director to go hire your football coach who is signed through the 2028 season, every single coach on your team, except or like in your group, besides your softball coach, has a contract through at least the end of 2025. So the new athletic director is going to be stuck with all these contracts if they don't like him. But to have him in a public setting one day, to fire him the next day, is very weird. And Duarte reported that part of this was because Chris Pesman had an inability to make significant progress to increase revenue through sponsorships and fundraising.
Yeah, they weren't getting a lot of that. I think their operating budget was $81.5 million. That was the lowest in all of the Power Four conferences. Hard to do it when you're here, you would think. But then you see that SMU, Southern Mansion University, raised $159 million for athletics last year.
Doesn't the timing feel odd on that? That report came out like 2 days ago about how much money SMU raised, and then Pesman gets fired 2 days later?
I got to say, though, it seems like there's a little bit more school pride for SMU, for the people that went to SMU, than there is for the University of Houston. And I this is not meant as a defense at the many Coug fans that are in town. But, I mean, I know all the people that like, go to SMU, aren't they all investment bankers? Like, don't you automatically become an investment banker making $500,000 a year upon graduation?
I was going to ask, is it pride or is it
money.
That a smaller school can just, boom, here's over $100 million.
Yeah, I mean, look, like Tillman has obviously tons of money, but what else can he do for the University of Houston?
Yeah, he owns the Rockets, too.
It's also, they have one Tillman.
Yeah. You need Tank Dell to get paid. That's what they need.
They need that second contract. They need a cap spike in the NFL.
Coug Blaze brings up the Holgorsen extension as a reason. That makes sense. But
I disagree. If that was the reason, then he shouldn't have not he would not have been allowed to hire Willie Fritz.
Yeah, I was gonna say fire him in December then.
Yeah,
Fritz is a good hire, I think too.
I think so too. I do think so. But I just find it odd that you would.
It's just like, timing. The timing makes no sense.
Yeah, it's strange. All right, time for a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Joe Mazzulla is king of the Joes. He, in an interview with Zach Lowe, talked about a wide variety of things, including fighting his father.
You told this story on Pardon My Take about, like, two men enter, one man leave.
Yes.
Like, fighting, you called it the alpha male challenge, and you described it as a muddy baseball field. He closes the gate, mm-hmm. and you fight. And your game plan was, I think you put it, throw mud in his face and kick him in the nuts.
Yes, that was the only thing I thought was right at the time.
Did you actually fight your father? Like, were there fisticuffs? Like, that was left unclear to me. I'm like, I don't know if I could fight my father, who was also a coach, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, fight's a strong word, because by the time I threw mud and tried to kick him, he grabbed me by the heel, leg swept me, had me down, and then it turned into, like, a submission contest to where I was, like, fighting to, you know, not get submitted for, like, 3 to 4 minutes. But that actually happened. It was one of the life-changing moments for me, and that was an alpha male thing. Like, listen, if you're going to go after something, if you think you can do it, then you better man up and do it. And if you don't, then you got to keep your mouth shut.
Joe George, plan on implementing this with Junior?
Ooh, he throws hands sometimes, but I don't throw back, to be clear. Just okay. To be extra clear. But no, I don't.
When's the last time that, because I feel like this happens with toddlers, when's the last time he accidentally hit you downstairs?
Like 2 days ago.
Oh, God. You ever thought about wearing a cup? I feel like every father should.
Really,
yeah, just slide in.
Really uncomfortable.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, I'm going to pass on that. I'm just going to take the risk.
We'll save more Joe Mazzulla for other days, because I did want to get us a little Mattress Mac in our lives. Here's Mattress Mac as Ricky Bobby in his latest commercial. We'll get that in a second. I got to say, I'm enjoying the Mattress Mac commercials.
He's really gone over the top.
I remember way back when they tried to disrespect Mattress Mac, and then he brought out an entire new game, acting.
He's not great at it.
Stop!
I think we...
That's our fearless leader.
Yeah.
Mattress Mac's going to be leading the Astros into the vanguard as they sweep the Orioles this weekend. Here's Mattress Mac.
In Houston, Dusty with Gallery Furniture here with today's big winner, Mattress Mac. Heck of a win for you today, but it seems like either you win or you crash the car trying to win.
Well, Dusty, here's the deal. I'm the best there is in this furniture business, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning and I piss excellence. You know what I mean? Nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. When it comes to delivering your new mattress faster than the competition, if you ain't first, you last. You know what I mean? That phrase is trademarked, not to be used without the express permission of Mattress Mac.
Let's go. And that's the kind of energy, baby, that we're taking in to this weekend. Astros, sweep! Guaranteed! Will I do anything if the Astros don't make good on that? Oh, we're out of time. It is Gallant and George. Big thanks to Sean Babes. Big thanks to Joe George. Big thanks to me. Me.
That's a new one, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't think you ever
did. You mean to do that?
I did.
Okay.
I am the greatest winner in Houston sports history, and this weekend is going to be a sweep. You heard it here first. And again, I'm not going to hold myself accountable if it doesn't happen. So long. Farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace!